John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my rock?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is tie is this, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, February 20th, 2013. Palestinian man dies of wounds sustained due to Israeli army gunfire 13 years ago, and Israeli troops clash with local youth near Hebron. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinian sources reported on Wednesday that Rami Al-Talib, 29 years old, from Al-Jalazon refugee camp near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, died due to wounds he sustained after being shot by the Israeli army in October of 2000. Talib was shot by Israeli soldiers with a live round that hit him in his back, leaving him paralyzed from waist down. Doctors in Ramallah City Hospital said that Talib was admitted to hospital 3 days ago due to health complications caused by his injury and died today. Also near Ramallah, the Israeli military closed today the Ofar Military Detention Center and announced that troops managed to arrest 5 Palestinians who entered the facility. The army gave no more details but announced that they are looking for a 6th person of the group. Ofar Detention Center was the location of protests for the past 3 days organized by Palestinians in solidarity with hunger-striking Palestinian political detainees held by Israel. Since Monday, at least 50 Palestinians were injured by the Israeli army gunfire near Ofar Detention Center. In other news, Israeli soldiers arrested on Wednesday a Palestinian young man during clashes that erupted between troops and local youth at the village of Beit Umar near Hebron City, southern West Bank. Troops invaded the village and fired tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets at local youth, who responded with hurling stones at soldiers, residents reported. During the clashes, many were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. Also on Wednesday, Israeli soldiers invaded the village of Barta'a near the northern West Bank city of Jenin and took over 2 caravans used by a local farmer to grow plants. Residents said that troops took the 2 caravans because the farmer placed them in his land that is too close to the Israeli wall. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 20th News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
Afghanistan, 17th of February. Afghan President Karzai has banned Afghan security forces from calling in NATO air support, hoping to put an end to repeated bombings from the air that have killed civilians and children. 10 were killed just a week ago. Afghanistan, 19th of February. NATO convoys are still shipping gear and fuel in, even while other convoys are shipping equipment out. They're also still being attacked. On Monday, gunmen attacked a convoy of 25 trucks after it got caught in a traffic jam. One driver and his assistant were killed, two vehicles damaged. Afghanistan, 15th of February. There is a report that the British have lost hundreds of their drones in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Baghdad, Iraq, 17th of February. 6 sectarian car bombs attacking Shiite areas killed at least 28 people. Mr. Barack Obama, now is the time to end this. You are doing no better in Afghanistan than Bush did in Iraq. Bring all the troops home today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. On the 20th of February, Code Pink showed up in Senator Dianne Feinstein's office to demand an end to the use of drones to murder people around the world. They were not successful in dropping the banner inside the Hart building. Police warned any banner drops would lead to arrests, saying, zero tolerance. The activists who got into Dianne Feinstein's office were dressed as the Grim Reaper, except for one with a mock tombstone labeled, 200 children killed by drones. A petition with thousands of signatures demanding an end to the drone strikes was hand-delivered.
We just delivered the petition to Senator Feinstein's office saying that the public deserves a hearing, that there's never been a public hearing by the Senate Intelligence Committee ever on this drone program. So the petition we handed in with thousands of signatures asking that Senator Feinstein have a public hearing, especially so we can get information about civilian casualties. Senator Feinstein herself said at the Brennan confirmation hearing that there were very few civilian casualties, just a handful of them. We think that is totally wrong. We think that is another example of disrespecting the lives of people in other countries. That's why we're trying to hold this, but not too successfully, a tombstone representing 200 children who have been killed. We think there are actually thousands of civilian casualties. She says there's a handful. Let's get to the bottom of this and have public hearings. And John Brennan said we should acknowledge when we kill civilians. Let's start acknowledging.
Capitol Police Inspector Maher told Medea Benjamin she was, quote, pushing it. 3 warnings were given, then everybody put down the signs and left before anyone could be arrested. Pushing it is what protest is all about. The cops were reported to be pissed about the banner, even when it was just displayed outdoors. Cops even tried to prevent the live streamer from filming in violation of well-established law and precedent.
Yeah, I came in a half hour early, and the one that was filming kept asking me about my camera. He was the one.
Given this.
Yeah, it did say, what are we going to do with this banner? Okay, you guys might have to refresh. We were met by different Capitol Police out here. They're calling it in. Another unit has arrived. I guess they're bored.
Yeah.
I will soon.
Okay, this looks good.
Stop, killer drone. Stop. Stop killer drones! Stop killer drones!
In Pugo Sound on the West Coast, activists calling themselves the Barefoot Bandit Brigade captured and removed 17 security cameras from the street. The captured cameras were then displayed on the internet by one of the masked activists. They issued this communique on anarchistnews.org. Quote, "In the opening weeks of February 2013, we have removed and destroyed 17 security cameras throughout the Puget Sound region. This act is concrete sabotage against the system of surveillance and control. It is also a message of solidarity and a wish of strength to the Seattle grand jury resistors, those currently incarcerated and those not. Finally, this act announces our participation in a game of camover called for by comrades in Germany." Now that's what I call a stick in the eye of Sauron, literally blinding the American police state one camera at a time. The grand jury resistors are three activists in jail and one in hiding who cannot be found by the pigs for refusing to snitch to a Seattle grand jury running a witch hunt into anarchists and Occupy activists on the West Coast.
On February 17th, tens of thousands of Americans and a contingent of Canadians rallied on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to demand that President Obama veto the government permit needed by TransCanada to build the Keystone XL pipeline across the international border that would carry tar sands oil from Alberta to refineries on the Texas Gulf Coast. The rally, claimed as the largest climate change protest in U.S. history, was organized by the Sierra Club and 350.org. The extraction of tar sands oil in northern Canada, much of it on indigenous lands occupied by what are called First Nations, has already destroyed large areas of the land, poisoning both water and air. That's likely the cause of new and more frequent occurrences of cancer and respiratory ailments among both humans and animals that live there. The spirited 2.5-hour rally in Washington featured a dozen speakers, including Van Jones, who worked briefly in the Obama White House as special advisor on green jobs. He now works with a group, Rebuild the Dream. Here is his short but powerful speech.
President Obama, all the good that you have done, all the good you can imagine doing, will be wiped out by floods, by fires, by superstorms, if you fail to act now to deal with this crisis that is a gun pointed at the head of the future. Everything you have done, history will judge you 20 years from now based on one decision alone. That decision is not in the hands of the Congress. That decision is not in the hands of any governors. That decision is not in the hands of any mayors or any dog catchers. The decision is in your hands, Mr. President. It's in your hands. Your hands. The decision to let this pipeline come through America is the most fateful decision you will ever make, Mr. President. It would be like jabbing a dirty needle into this country from Canada. It would be like lighting a fuse on a carbon bomb. That's what it would be like doing, Mr. President. And you cannot allow that to happen. If the pipeline goes through, Mr. President, the first thing it runs over will not be farmland. The first thing it runs over will not be small towns. If you let this pipeline go through, Mr. President, the first thing it runs over is the credibility of the President of the United States of America. That's the first thing it runs over. That's the first thing it runs over. I want to say unequivocally to this next generation, stop being chumps. I'm going to say it again. To the next generation, stop being chumps. You elected this president. You re-elected this president. You gave him the chance to make history. He needs to give you the chance to have a future. Stop being chumps. Stop being chumps and fight for your future. Thank you very much.
We next hear an excerpt from a talk given at a forum held on the evening after the rally titled Women of the Land Speak, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Tar Sands to Renewables, featuring two native women from Canada and two white ranchers from the U.S. Eleanor Fairchild is a Texas rancher, some of whose property was taken by TransCanada through eminent domain to build the southern leg of the Keystone XL pipeline, which is already under construction.
I found out at the State Department what tar sands was and the damage it was doing in Canada and how much water it took to get it out, how expensive it was. And that was when I decided, well, I was mad because they lied to me. And I decided that I needed to fight this. But I've never done this before. This is my first experience with this. But at this point, TransCanada is on my land, and the pipe's in the ground. One thing that I can't understand in this whole thing is how TransCanada has so much power in the United States. It's a foreign company. I think that it's immoral for us as a nation to allow a pipeline to come through here with tar sands that's not even going to be for us in the first place, but I don't like tar sands anywhere. But they ought to leave it in the ground. But I think it's immoral for us to enable Canada to do what it's doing. As a people, I think it's wrong. I think about our children, and people talk about our debt. You know, we can get out of a debt. But if we mess up our water and our earth doing something stupid, like using this stuff, tar sands, you know, we might make it an earth where our children can't live. It might be a thing that we can't even solve regardless of how much money we have. I think if we're not careful, we're going to destroy ourselves and everything on this earth. It's time to start thinking about what we do today.
That was Texas rancher Eleanor Fairchild speaking at a forum sponsored by the Women's Earth and Climate Caucus with the Indigenous Environmental Network and 350.org. This report on the February 17th Keystone XL pipeline protest in Washington, D.C. was recorded and produced by Between the Lines Melinda Tuhus.
On the 16th of February, the weekend's events opposing the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline warmed up with a band playing in a park near Capitol Hill, powered only by a three-place bicycle crank generator set.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
We are Melodigo!
We are Melodigo!
We came here from Boston!
We came here from Boston!
To send a message! That the Keystone Pipeline!
That the Keystone Pipeline!
Is not welcome in our country!
Is not welcome in our country!
We have our bicycle-powered sound system!
We have our bicycle-powered sound system!
And we invite you to help us make clean energy music today!
And we invite you to help us make clean energy music here today! 1,000 years!
1,000 years!
Peace and dignity!
Peace and dignity!
Starts here!
Starts here!
Now! 2, 3, 4! Wanna tell every person how I feel today? I'm stepping out again for the first time. Feel my knees lift me on up and out of dismay. Feel my tongue turn prose to rhyme.
On the 16th of February, activists opposing the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline
mounted a movie projector on a cart, batteries and computers and speakers on other carts, and staged a guerrilla movie projection session on the walls of first a Heritage Foundation and then Capitol Hill Exxon. They ran a variety of movies in both locations, but the capper was this ad for Exxon. Comcast was supposed to run the Exxon Hates Your Children ad around the time of Obama's State of the Union address, but Exxon whined and had it banned. This was the only video played at the Exxon station, but was also played at Heritage Foundation. Here's what things sounded like.
Here at Exxon, we hate your children. We all know the climate crisis will rip their world apart, but we don't care because it's making us rich.
That's right. Every year, Congress gives the fossil fuel industry over $10 billion in subsidies. It's your tax dollars lining our pockets, making a fortune destroying your kids' future. At Exxon, that's what we call good business. ExxonHateYourChildren.com.
There was also this piece lampooning both the Koch brothers and Coca-Cola and the Tea Party and the rest of that whole hornet's nest aired on the walls of the Heritage Foundation.
I'd like to buy the Cokes a world so they'd leave ours alone. Then go back to Park Avenue and crawl beneath their stone.
Other videos were played on the walls of the Heritage Foundation targeting everything from natural gas fracking, which releases so much fugitive methane is worse than coal for the climate, and has led to drinking water that can literally be set on fire after natural gas bubbles have leaked into drinking water. Another video targeted Canada's role in the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline and the Alberta-Canada tar sands mines, which are the focus of the next day's massive protest against the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline.
Late as usual. Cops arrive just as we're done.
On the 17th of February, tens of thousands of protesters, estimates ranging from 35,000 to as high as 50,000, gathered at the Washington Monument and marched around the White House in opposition to the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline and the incredible devastation it could bring to our climate. Many of the keynote speakers were Native American, either from tribes in the path of the pipeline or surrounding the tar sands mines in Alberta, Canada, where children are being poisoned by bad drinking water and animals are dying of diseases, and everyone figures they're next in line.
We formed an alliance to stop the Enbridge Northern Gateway Project, which plans to bring tar sands oil to the coast of British Columbia, which will then be prompting us to go to the Asian markets. The Intraday Alliance is opposed to irresponsible environmental damaging projects that put our communities, our water, our culture, our land, our fish, our animals, and most importantly, our plants at risk. It puts at risk my neighbors to the east of me that live in the tar sands. The government doesn't recognize these people, and these people have been dying of mysterious cancers. Their water is polluted. Their animals are sick.
We can't sacrifice our children's future, and we can't do it alone. I'm asking help from the Waterkeepers Alliance, the Congress of American Indians. For the first time in my life, I feel like there's support of many.
There certainly is. Never before have all different sectors of the environmentalist movement come together around a single issue like you have on stopping the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline and other projects related to mining the Alberta tar sands. On the 17th of February, I could see 10, 20, 30,000 fists in the air, maybe as many as 50,000 according to TarSandsBlockade.org's website.
Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. Everything's red. 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 Dead. Red. Dead. Red. First off, I send love to Lupe for giving us hope in this Lakota Sioux. All red, everything, red nation rising. Revising our story, they're televising. Child of the plains, I see 2020. Poverty, porn, TV, pimpers for money. Tell Diane Sawyer, I am a warrior. Give me your camera, send pal to your lawyer. Free all my people, get them out of prison. Take them to Sundance, show them how we're living. Give youth an outlet, disadvantaged prodigies. Feed these Republicans all our commodities. Put them on the red. From the day they're born, they won't survive cause their cancer is airborne. Put them in our schools, put them in our shoes. Take away their money and give them our booze. Red, make everything red. Words of my ancestors up in my head. Food for thought, our kids underfed. Your oil is mud, they want the earth dead. Oil for blood, oil for blood. Making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean. That oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, red, red. Dead. Red, dead. Red. I can't afford to leave the res. Government has got me trapped. The leadership need a tip. And most of my tribal leaders whack. They don't wanna hear that. They just wanna chill. I'm sick, I'll go to IHS and get a pill. For real? Like a song without a title. Feel forgotten, like slaves picking the cotton. Forever tribal, with no connection to the Bible. Lying, people rotten, sometimes I'm suicidal. Feeling like no exit, Generation X shit. Text mentioning sex, what I connect with. Technology, get this world to acknowledge me. My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Lakota philosophy, keep them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil. Oil for blood, oil for blood, making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red.
On the 19th of February, tar sands blockade activists in Appalachia resist shut down a waste storage facility used by natural gas frackers in Ohio with a monopod tower and banner drops. Nate Ebert, a 33-year-old Athens County, Ohio resident and member of Appalachia Resist, climbed the 30-foot monopod anchored directly to a truck preparing to drop off waste at the facility. All the gates were also locked shut by activists. The target was Green Hunter Waters Hydraulic Fracturing or Fracking Waste Storage Site along the Ohio River in Washington County. A total of 10 activists were arrested. Nate had to descend after being threatened with an extraction process that would have amounted to deadly force. Appalachia Resist, Radical Action for Mountain People's Survival, also known as RAMPS, a coalition of indigenous leaders including representatives from No Line 9 and the Unist'ot'en Camp, Keystone Blockade, Great Plains Tar Sands Resistance, and dozens of Earth First groups from all over the country all sent participants to this action. Gas fracking not only creates drinking water that contains poisons and can be set on fire, it also powers destructive tar sands mining, thus one more reason for the involvement of people fighting tar sands mining and fighting gas fracking.
Is a form of natural gas drilling, an alternative to oil, cause the oil kept spilling, bringing jobs to small towns, so everybody's willing. People turn on the lights and the drillers make a killing.
Water goes into the pipe into the ground, the pressure cranks fissures 7,000 feet down, the cracks release the gas that powers your town, that will frack, yeah, totally frack.
But there's more in the water than just H2O, toxic chemicals help to make the fluid flow, with names like benzene and formaldehyde, you better keep them far away from the water supply.
The drillers say the fissures are a mile below, the groundwater pumped into American homes, but don't tell it to the residents of Sublet Wayo, that water's frack. We're talking benzene.
What the frack is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think my water's on fire tonight.
So it all goes back to 2005. Bush said gas drillers didn't have to comply with the Safe Drinking Water Act before too long. It was frack, baby, frack until the break of dawn.
With the EPA out, it was up to the states, but they didn't have the money to investigate. Sick people couldn't prove fracking was to blame, all the while water wells were going up in flames.
Cause it's hard to contain all the methane released. It can get into the air, it can get into the streams. It's a greenhouse gas worse than CO2. Fracking done wrong could lead to climate change too.
Now it's not that drillers should never be fracking, but the current regulation is severely lacking. Reduce the toxins contained, the gas and wastewater, and the people will get sick and the planet will get hotter.
What the frack is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think our water's on fire tonight.
We have never stood by to see a whale die.
Is one whale's life worth war?
Until you find something worth dying for, you haven't really lived.
Whale wars have just become real again. There has been a major incident at sea between the illegal whale poaching fleet from Japan and the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society's patrol ships. The whalers have been shut down since the 16th of February, and the Sea Shepherd ship Sam Simon was tailing the South Korean tanker Sung Laurel, which on the 17th of February spilled oil while refueling the heavily armed security ship Shonan Maru and the nearly empty of fuel harpoon ship Yushin Maru. Sea Shepherd got a sample of the spilled oil and recorded this radio transmission.
Good tipping. Tomorrow morning, Wapo Bunkery, two vessels, over.
Roger, I keeping good keeping, sir. Captain, we gauging first before bunkering.
Yeah. Okay. Understand. MC, over.
Okay, sounding first before bunkering.
Okay, sounding first after bunkering. Correct, over.
Okay.
Boson, hose cover, be careful. If oil leakage, oil drops, big problem. This backside San Simon.
That's big problem.
Catch.
Roger, sir. Now good closer.
Okay.
He said now it's good closed. He said big problem, oil cover.
Yeah.
He said Sam Simon catch. Sam Simon, as in Sam Simon caught us. So he just told the boats to make sure the oil cover is closed.
The hoses are closed.
Yeah. And he said, yep.
On the 20th of February, things got far more intense when the factory ship Nishan Maru and the rest of the whaling fleet, having burned most of their fuel while catching almost no whales, showed up to refuel by force. The Nishan Maru rammed the Sea Shepherd ship Bob Barker, which was attempting to block the illegal transfer of fuel at sea in waters that far south. First, he issued orders over a loudspeaker to leave waters claimed by Australia on orders of the government of Japan. Then they proceeded to back those orders up by ramming the Bob Barker. In the process of trying to ram their way through Sea Shepherd, the Nishan Maru also rammed the Sun Laurel, their own oil-laden refueling ship. In the process, they smashed the Sun Laurel's portside life raft and the Davitter crane required to launch their other life raft. All three Sea Shepherd ships at the scene were rammed, but most of the damage was sustained by the Bob Barker. The Bob Barker lost all engine power, and the Sun Laurel was now without their life-saving equipment if they went down from a storm. When the captain of the Sea Shepherd ship, Bob Barker, issued a Mayday distress call, the whaling factory ship Nishan Maru turned and fled north without refueling. As of now, all ships are proceeding north away from the whaling grounds. The Sea Shepherd fleet is escorting the damaged fuel tanker Sun Laurel, as the tanker now has no lifeboats. With the whaling fleet having failed in their attempt to refuel and the tanker damaged, Sea Shepherd has completed the mission to prevent refueling. The whaling ships are only 2 miles north of Sea Shepherd. Sea Shepherd ships will continue to patrol the whale sanctuary. It should take one ship to escort the Sun Laurel to port, one ship to escort or tow the Bob Barker to port if it cannot be repaired at sea. That would still leave the fourth Sea Shepherd ship of the fleet on patrol. On the 11th of February, the City Council in Springfield, Missouri, held a hearing on whether or not Walmart should be allowed to open yet another store in a city already containing 5 Walmarts. During a break, Walmart representatives started trash-talking several City Council members over a traffic study, foolishly thinking their microphones were off.
We're going to take just about a 5 to 10 minute break so we could stretch up here.
Oh my God. What is this deal? I really like
who paid for the traffic study?
After dip.
Who pays for all of them?
In case you couldn't understand it, here's a transcript. Quote, I'm thinking Bales is a no. Clayton, oh my God, what's his deal? Who paid for the traffic study, you dipshit? Who pays for it all? In other words, Walmart won't hesitate to take a great big smelly dump in the faces of any local government officials who dare to question their expansion plans or who question their so-called studies. They seem to think if Walmart expends a dime to meet the legal requirements of a study, the city is then obligated to approve Walmart plans in return. Here in D.C., Walmart is known to have Mayor Gray in their pocket, but several city council members are talking of bills to regulate labor conditions in big box stores. Passing one of these bills would either force Walmart to make unprecedented concessions, or better yet, cancel their stores and get the hell out of D.C. In the meantime, all I can say is, oh my God, what is Walmart smoking to think they can treat our cities like this? I don't know what it is, but I do not want to hit on it, and I hope to God it goes out before I have to smell any more of it.